God, but he went to the lighthouse and asked them, because he knew that the people at the lighthouse see everything. And what I'm trying to say here is that the lighthouse represents the people of prayer and intercessory, and they can see some stuff that you can't see. They know things that you don't know because they're always in prayer. They always got to watch for eye. Why do you say that, Pastor? Because Jesus tells us that we ought to watch and pray. Oh, come on and say amen in here. Do I have anybody in the house that say, I want to be in the watchtower? I want to be able to see what's going on. I want to be able to pray. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. And the Bible said that Saul went on past that. And when he got nearby, that the presence of God was so thick that before he even got there, the Bible says in verse 23 that the Spirit of God was upon him. Oh, so I wish I had somebody. Before he even got there, God started dealing with him. Before he even made it there, God started working on him. Before he even met up with David and Saul, God started messing around with Saul. Oh, come on and say amen here. We got to understand that we can't fight this battle ourselves. Ain't nothing you can do but praise God in the battle. Oh, come on and say amen. Ain't nothing you can do except give God some praise, because the devil will try to do what he wants to do. The people will try to do what they want to do. But thanks be to God, if I can just get my hands up, you better watch out now. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. If you let me open up my mouth and say thank you, Jesus, I'm subject to feel better. I wish I had somebody. Oh yeah, if I could just get a prayer through. If you let me start praying, the devil's in trouble now, because I know what God is able to do. And Saul began to change his mind, not because he wanted to, but because
we know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries in Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Bell Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Canty, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Canty, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to Judges chapter 3, verse 31. Now, our Bible students will know a couple weeks ago I touched on this. I preached on this once before. But yet, as I tell you, all that is in the Bible is already in it, but all that is to come out of it has not yet come out of it. The Word is alive. It yet gives birth to new meaning. And so as we study it and we continue to grow in it, again, it takes us to new places, new depths, and new heights in that word. Judges chapter 3, verse 31. All right, when you find it, say amen. Amen. Let's begin reading now.
the Son of Man, which slew of the hills behind 600 men with an ox goad, and also delivered Israel.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For just a little while, I want to talk about strategies for success. Strategies for success. I believe in every area of life, strategies are important to our success. What does strategy mean? Simply stated, it means a specific plan designed to reach a specified destination or designated desire, a goal. When you have a strategy, it means that you have thought about it, you have perhaps prayed about it, but you've taken the time to plan out steps to get you from here to there, from where you are to where you want to be. And successful folk use strategies or plans or steps to get from where they are to where they want to be. Some folk just wake up and any way the wind blows is cool with them. Those are not mostly the kind of folk who run up on success by chance. Sometime chance and opportunity, according to Ecclesiastes, happens to every man. So every now and then, something good will happen to you you didn't even deserve. You didn't even look for it. Matter of fact, it had to overtake you and throw you down and wrestle with you to have you even know it was opportunity. So here, I want to deal with these strategies. Now notice what the word says again. Because one of the things, interestingly enough, Shamgar is one of my favorite Christian characters in all of the word. Shamgar. Now, if you weren't at the last message I preached of out of this book, and if you weren't in the Bible study a few weeks ago that I taught out of this, you might not have ever heard of Shamgar. Touch your neighbor and say, have you ever heard of Shamgar? Now don't answer, because we don't want to lie in church. Now listen, let me tell you what the word says. Judges chapter 3, verse 31. Now there are 26 words in this verse. And the only other time Shamgar's name is mentioned is in the 5th chapter of Judges in verse 6. There are the first 9 words of the 6th verse of that 5th chapter of Judges is about Shamgar. The second 5 words are about a man named Jael. And the next 13 words are about them both. All right. So in total, there are 48 words in all the Bible about this one man named Shamgar. Shamgar was a minor judge. There were 6 minor judges. Shamgar was the first of the 6 minor judges. There were 6 major judges. And Ehud was the second of which Shamgar came after as the first minor judge. Now you may ask yourself, what is the difference between the major judges and the minor judges? Well, the major judges were more in a leadership or political role. They were the leaders of Israel. They gave direction and instructions to Israel. But the minor judges were the adjudicators. They were the ones who really dealt with the law and righteousness. They were, if you would, the judge, the jury, and the executioner. as you will see with Shamgar. Now, they weren't minor because they did minor work in scope of the whole reality of things. They were called minor judges because there was so little information known about them. I told you in all the word, there were only 48 words about this great hero of Israel. Now the Bible says, and after him, after Ehud, came Shamgar, the son of Anath. Now, he slew of the Philistine 600 men. 600 men by himself. Now, let me give you a little background of the story. The Philistines had invaded Israel at this time. Yes, sir. They occupied the entire country. All of the main roads were off limits now to the inhabitants of Israel. They had to take back roads and they had to cut through their neighbors' farms to get where they wanted. They made life very difficult for the Israelites. It was important to understand that they could not, the Israelites could not use their major roads without permission or without payment. And so every now and then, the Philistines, who were always ordered to patrol in numbers of two, would leave the main roads and go down the back roads and the back paths. And many times they would raid the homes of the Israelites, rape the women of the Israelites, and they would many times destroy the Israelites, because when they invaded the city, they took all of their weapons from them. In the 8th verse of the 5th chapter, it says, out of the 40,000 men, Deborah, the major judge, said, not a sword or a spear, or shield rather, could be found in 40,000 men. Not one sword or one shield could be found. And of course, the reason is because when they invaded, they took every weapon from them that could be offensive to the Philistines. Now, understanding how this is working now, understanding you're watching soldiers come on your property, invade your property, destroy things, take what they wanted, handle your women any kind of way, and you were defenseless to do anything about it. And they would do that at their pleasure. Now, Shamgar began to pray about and think about how to handle this situation. Strategy number one, I hope you're writing this down, because it works in multiple areas of your life, not just warfare. But how many of you know we are in a war? And we need to know how to handle ourselves in warfare. Strategy number one, he surveyed his surroundings. He surveyed his surrounding. He reacquainted himself with all of his land, all of his property, everything that he had on his land, to know. You can't know if nothing is missing, stolen, disrupted, or anything else if you don't have a good account of your own land. So, A, he was aware of his area. You've got to be aware of your area. What's yours? What's your responsibility? What's your property? Somebody break into your house and you don't have a record of the things you've had in your house. Most times you won't even know all that they've taken because you don't have a record. Most good insurance company tell you now to video what you got in there. write down or keep a record of the serial numbers on it. All of these, why? Because if there happened to be a break-in, you can give them something tangible that they are able to search for. B, he assessed what was available to him as it related to what he could use in warfare. He assessed what was available to him. Why is that important? Because you have got to learn, even the Bible says, count the cost. If a man, a king, goes into war, does he not first take out time, count and see how many men he has for battle and how many the enemy has and whether or not he can win it? If a man builds a house, does he not sit down and count up the cost to see what it's going to take to finish building that house before he starts, lest he be made a laughing stock because he got started and couldn't finish? Do you know how embarrassing it is to start something and there it is before the world and you can't finish it? And it was all because you didn't take time out to count the cost. See, he was assured of his ability. He understood he needed to know first and foremost what were his strengths and what were his weaknesses. No man in his right mind gonna pick a fight with somebody else, knowing they're bigger and stronger, and not know where their strengths are. You've got to know what you're able to do, what you're capable of doing, but you also got to be real with yourself and know what you can't do. If you can't do it, don't be no fool. Because look at what the Bible says. It's better to be a live dog than to be a dead lion. You catch that on your way home. At least if you're a living dog, you got the ability to live another day. But if you're a dead lion, it's over. Strategy two. He studied his situation. He studied his situation. What was his situation? Listen, the Philistine, a strong army, invaded the city, had them captives, and he had to understand, what can I do in this situation? Now you're going to recognize the power of what one person can do. He studied his situation, meaning this, he used what he had. What did he have? He had his head, his heart, and his hands. His head, his heart, and his hands. He studied that. He knew that. Head, he used investigation and imagination. He investigated the enemy. He observed how they handled themselves, their weaponry. He checked out their attitudes, whether or not they were sober or drunken. He checked all of that out. He investigated them. And then he used his imagination. How can I handle this situation? What can I do in this situation? So it's important to use, hey, listen, your head. You have good sense. You can see. You can syllogistically deduce from cause to effect. If this happened, this might happen. If that happens, that might happen. Investigate what you're working with and then use your imagination. Yes, he's outnumbered. Yes, it's true they've taken all his weaponry away. Yes, the reality is it's far, far more likely that he'll lose than he'll win. But at least if he tried, how many could he take out? Secondly, he used his heart. He was full of faith. Full of faith. His faith overcame the facts. This is what you got to understand, the power of faith. The facts said that they were captives. They had a great army with great artillery. They were men who would kill at a moment's notice, who showed no compassion, no love, nor care. How could he handle that? How could he go up against that? The facts were what they were.
All right, doctor.
Listen, you don't have to deny the facts. You just know that facts can change. His faith knew that he could change the facts. But listen, don't fool yourself. Fear is natural to all of us. There is a godly fear and there is an ungodly fear, and we have them both. We have them both. But here's what you need to know. Even with the ungodly fear that we have, sometimes it's just for a moment. Sometimes it's till we come to ourselves. But here's what we need to know. The fear that is in us don't have to be a bad thing. We can do like Shamgar and use our fear to fuel our faith. Sometimes you just get sick and tired of being. Come on, help me here. Sometimes enough is. Sometimes you've taken all you're going to take and you won't take. Oh, y'all with me now. And faith motivates you and activates you to do something. To do something. And then lastly, he used his hand. Remember, he didn't already surveyed everything. He didn't already investigated everything, but he used his imagination. What can I use that I have? And he had an ox goad. He was a farmer. An ox goad, for those of you who don't know, for all of the rest of the many of you who do know, you'll catch that when you wake up too. An ox goad was a long pole about 6 to 8 feet long. At the thickest end, it was about 6 inches round. And on that end, it had like a chisel or a shovel. At the very other end of that 6 to 8 foot long pole was a sharp spear. When the farmer would be behind the ox plowing, every now and then, the ox would take a break longer than he should. And the farmer would stand up with the ox goad, poke him, and the ox, and he hit him again, and the ox, you know, that means to go on and move. But every now and then, because of the moisture in certain parts of the clay or after a rain, it became thick and it would be mud-like that stuck to the plow. And when it stuck to the plow, he would take the other end of the ox goad that was like a chisel or like a shovel, and he'd clean off the plow to make it easier for the ox to plow. And that was the purpose of an ox goad. But Shamgar said, wait a minute. I've got an 8 feet ox goad. I know how to use this very well. And so because he'd studied the men, and he knew his property. He knew where he could position himself to catch one over here and one over there. And he'd use that spear, stab one in the back, knock him out, kill him. Then when the other came round, he'd catch him off guard, spear him. That's two down. So at roll call, when they went back at the end of the evening, and they do a roll call, and they call those two soldiers' names, they wouldn't answer. But it wasn't no big deal, because they thought that they were off doing something what? Together. Y'all gonna hear me in a little while. And so then we move to strategy three, where he, Shamgar, seized his success. He seized, somebody say seize. That means you take it. The Bible says the kingdom suffereth violence, and the violent, I got a few Bible readers, the violent does what? Taketh by force. Sometime you got to get to the point where I won't wait another moment longer, not for what belongs to me. I go back to this reference of the woman with the issue of blood many times, because she, number one, wasn't supposed to be around a crowd. Two, she was supposed to cry out 300 feet away, unclean, unclean. But this woman made up in her mind that I've got to get to Jesus, and if I could but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And that woman got down on her knees and crawled up behind him and touched the hem of his garment and got her healing immediately. She didn't stand in line. She didn't wait to have a conference with him. She didn't wait for him to lay hands on her. She decided, I waited long enough, and it's time to take my healing. I'm not waiting on Jesus. I'm gonna touch him and take what belongs to me. Why? Because she was a daughter. She was entitled to her healing. And sometimes, listen, you got to realize you have got to get to the point where you're ready to seize your success. Shamgar wasn't going to wait around and let them people destroy everything he had. Enough was enough. So when you realize, let's look at his plan. A, he planned his work, and he worked his plan. Why is that important? Because it's important because he knew what he was going to do. And it's always important in any contest to know what you're going to do. You learn offense, but then you learn defense. Why do you learn defense? Because you don't know what the other fellow's going to do. So what you do is practice on doing what you think he's going to do. So you got to plan your work and work your plan. But B, listen at this, this is important. He waited patiently for the opportunity to seize what he wanted to do. Waited patiently, patiently waited for the opportunity to do. He was too level-headed to go out and just brashly and rashly, you know, go out there with his ox goad, I'm gonna kill you, I'm gonna kill you. Go charging at them. No, he waited till the opportunity was right. How many of you know opportunities don't come always at an opportune time? You've got to learn how to wait to have the perfect opportunity to put your plan in action. And then thirdly, he persevered to the win. Now you could have said he persevered and won, but that would have been just for him. But the record is, and he also delivered Israel. And he also delivered Israel. So he persevered to the win. And this is where I get the strategy for it. And this is probably as plain and as simple as I can make the whole word. I've shared this with you before. He, Shamgar, shared strategies to success. Shamgar shared his strategies to success, of success for him, but to set success for the rest of them. What he did was,